Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We also want to invite you to tune in our TV program that follows this broadcast on Public Access Channel Number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. It runs from 8 to 8:30 every Sunday morning. We cordially invite you to look in, and you can have another opportunity to study God's wonderful book. We also invite you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a meeting time for our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the Bible to give you a flavor of how the Bible is put together and the different aspects of each book. We are now in the Minor Prophets, and this morning we will discuss the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk is 3 chapters and 56 verses long. The prophet's name means embracing, and is taken the personality to mean one who is embraced or one who is embraced. Due to the context of this book, it would appear that he is embraced. The man, he calls himself a prophet in chapter 1 and verse 1. Maybe he was a man of Judah, known and respected in that area. The context of this book has been called the father of Israel's religious doubt. Why were his prayers unanswered? That's a question he asked in Habakkuk 1 and verse 2. Wonder why God permitted such evil to continually to occur in chapter 1 verse 2 through 4. A complaint to express to God, not against him. Then upon learning that God was going to raise up the Chaldeans against Israel, he wondered how a pure and just God would allow a nation more wicked than his own people to devour one more righteous than Judah. Chapter 1 verse 12 to chapter 2 verse 1. Habakkuk did not lack faith. He had that according to verse 4 of chapter 2. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. He understood the place of faith. He had faith. He just did not understand. He freely spoke his doubts to God. Not God's existence, but difficulty in comprehending the why of God's actions. While other prophets spoke to Israel, Habakkuk spoke to God on behalf of Israel. Habakkuk was greatly perplexed and worried over the confused issues about him, as men today are confused and bewildered. Why does God allow devastating ruin to go unchecked? Why does the whole world have to continue to suffer while ungodly criminals plunge us deeper into the abyss? When will God lift his hand to change the tide and cause justice to reign on the earth? The careful study of the message of Habakkuk will help towards a sane solution of the question that has baffled us for centuries. The complaints he made are in the early part of the book, seem to date him as a contemporary with Jehoiachin in chapter who reigned from 606 to 597 B.C., according to Jeremiah 22:13 through 19. That's merely an opinion. Habakkuk prophesied from 1:612 to 606 B.C., which means that he began his prophecy about the time the Babylonians and the Persians destroyed Nineveh. He probably lived before Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of Judah in 606 B.C. So the best possible date would be the best that I could do. It would probably be 606 to 612 B.C. What is the message of the book? 2 chapters of the book are devoted to a dialogue between the prophet and the Lord, with the remaining chapter consisting of an ode or rhapsody to a prayer set to music, a beautiful anthem of praise to the Almighty God. Obadiah told us of the fate of Edom. Nahum spoke of the fate of Nineveh. The prophet Habakkuk speaks of the fate of Babylon. The judgment is about to come upon the degenerate nation of Judah through the hands of the Chaldeans, and the overthrow of the Chaldeans for the insatiable ambition, cruelty, treachery, and idolatry. The prophet learns a divine lesson. Learn and announce to the world how God can permit and use tyranny to accomplish his divine purposes. But in the end, tyranny will also be punished. It will not go unchecked. Never doubt that God knows what's happening and He is in control of the situation. Man's free moral choice can make his way very difficult. God will have the final say. He always has. He always will. The brief outline of this book. The problem of the perplexed prophet in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 20. The first question of the prophet and God's reply. Question: How long shall I cry and you will not hear? Reply: Be utterly astounded. I am raising up the Chaldeans, in verse 5 and 6. Second question of the prophet and God's reply. Question: You are of pure eyes and to behold evil. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours one more righteous than he? Verse 13 of chapter 1. Reply: The vision is for an appointed time. The just shall live by faith. Woe to the wicked, for the Lord is in his holy temple. That is a reference that he is ruling and reigning in heaven. The praise of a trusting prophet is seen in chapter 3, verse 1 through 19. Habakkuk prays for mercy in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Habakkuk recalls past manifestation of God's glory, power, and his mercy that he describes in verses 3 through 15 of chapter 3. Habakkuk trusts in God's salvation, and he will wait for God's salvation. Chapter 3, 16 through 19. We need to understand some things about this book that can help us in our day. The prophet's complaint to God concerning Judah. His fundamental difficulty is why God permits evil. He asks, how long will this evil be permitted to continue unchecked? God's response is, in verse 5 through 11, I will work a work in your days, raising up the Chaldeans. Then he describes their character and their conquest. God is not indifferent to the situation. Use another to execute judgment. But he will also execute judgment on tyranny and ungodliness. The prophet's moral problem. He recognizes the qualities of Jehovah in verse 12. He is from everlasting and my holy one. He recognizes why they were raised up in verse 12. For judgment, for correction. It was a discipline tool. But how could God use a more wicked nation than Judah to destroy her? No. How do we determine who is more wicked in view of Luke chapter 12, verse 48? The greater the opportunity, the greater the sin of rejection. Then he describes the completeness in which the Chaldeans ravage a people, according to chapter 2, 14 through 17. He said, I will. Want to watch, see what he says to me? Chapter 2, verse 1. Jehovah's final reply is recorded in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. Habakkuk was about to write it upon tables, the vision for an appointed time in God's mind, but at the end it shall speak at the end of the Babylonian Empire. And he mentioned two classes in chapter 2, verse 4. The wicked whose soul is lifted up, Chaldeans with pride. The just shall live by faith. Future belongs to the righteous. And then in chapter 2, verse 5 through 20, we have five woes that are recorded. Woe to him who increases that which is not his. Chapter 2, verse 6. What men acquire of violence and guile that is not really theirs. Woe to him that buildeth a town on blood. Chapter 2, verse 12. It is not wrong to build a town, but not by murder and bloodshed. Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink. Chapter 2, verse 15. To conquer nations, the Chaldeans behave like one giving his neighbor intoxicating drink to stupefy his abilities and expose his shame. Solomon wrote of such attitudes in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, and also chapter 23, verse 29 through 35. Alcohol fills our lands with paupers, hospitals, and patients, jails with prisoners, mental hospitals, and lunatics, and the cemetery is full of graves of those because they could not control that substance, their life ended early. Woe to him that saith to the wood, in chapter 2, verse 15. This has a reference to idolatry. Babylon was the land with graven images. The people who made were made upon their idols. The folly of idolatry is set forth in Jeremiah chapter 18. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. Yes, one who covets evil gain to build his house will find that that house will fall. An older rhapsody, a prayer set to music, a beautiful hymn of praise unto God is seen in chapter 3. Consists of three parts. A prayer beseeching God to revive his work of deliverance in verse 1 and 2. Remembrance of God's deliverance and manifestation of power in the past in verses 3 through 15. And last, the lasting and whole effect upon the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Now, what are some practical lessons to be learned from Habakkuk? Number 1, God's faithful servants sometimes express honest doubt. Not a doubt into the existence of God, but the perplexity of the workings of God. Look at David. It was painful for David to contemplate the prosperity of the ungodly until he went into the sanctuary of God and understood what their end would be. Psalm 73, 1-17. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Jeremiah 12, 1-2. Habakkuk, why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devour one more righteous than them? Habakkuk 1, verse 13. Perhaps even more amazing of these perplexities is the fact that an omnipotent and omnipotent God responded in love and mercy to each of these so-called doubting Thomases. One lesson to be learned from each of these who expressed doubt in the fact that God does not always settle his accounts in the time frame anticipated by the human race. We must learn to wait on God, knowing that he will not fail the faithful and that he knows what's best in the long run. This is called trust, and letting God be God, and let us be who we are. The nature of God is depicted in Habakkuk. He is eternal in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12. He is holy in verse 13. He is omnipotent. He rules in the kingdoms of men and is able to see the basis of men and still and use them to accomplish his purposes of correction and chastisement, according to chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is always a reproach. Solomon told us that in Proverbs 14:34. Judah was rampant with sin, chapter 1, 2-4. So God raised up the Chaldeans for judgment and for correction, verse 12. The Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, were ruthless, having plundered many nations, so they would eventually be plundered by the remnant of the people. And the just shall live by faith. That was true then, that is true now. We must believe God, trust God, and put our confidence in his will that he knows what is best. God still steps forth the salvation of his people. He proved in his dealings with the Israelites that he indeed loved them when he punished the people who punished them. God is still able, enables his people to walk in high places in chapter 3 and verse 19. We need to understand that we might not understand the ways of God. We might not understand his timetable nor his methods. But he is God. We do not have the right to question him or doubt him. The Bible says that he loves us to cast our care upon him. We are told he will never leave us. We must trust him. We must put our faith in his hands. And we know he will not let us down. Habakkuk understood God works on his own timetable. He doesn't work on man. Tune in again next week, and we hope you have a wonderful Lord's Day.